Imagine stepping into the most expensive, highly anticipated action game of the year.
Right.
You walk through an entire campaign of high-stakes espionage, and then you roll the final credits without ever firing a single bullet.
Which is, kind of unheard of for the genre.
Exactly. Now, imagine booting up a massive, big-budget racing game where, 70% of its active player base never even bothered to buy it.
Yeah, it completely breaks the standard rules.
Well, good. Then the deep dive. I am so thrilled you are joining us today because as you listen to this, it is Monday, May 4th, 2026.
A huge day.
Yeah, we are standing on the edge of a release calendar that's basically shaping up to be one of the most explosive months in gaming history.
It really is a genuinely historic collision of titles. I mean,
Yeah.
we're looking at a 4-week window where entirely different philosophies of game design, economic models, and hardware utilization are just hitting the market simultaneously.
Right. And our source material for this analysis is the Ultimate May 2026 Gaming Release Guide.
Excellent guide.
But, our mission today is not to just sit here and read you a dry list of dates and price tags.
Yeah.
You have search engines for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead, we're going to unpack the 10 biggest games dropping this month and extract the hidden architecture beneath
We're
them.
talking about the underlying trends, right?
Exactly. Things like unprecedented player agency, artificial intelligence reshaping difficulty in real time, and disruptive indie models that are tearing down decade-old monopolies.
It's a lot to cover.
It is, but we are giving you the exact intel you need to decide where to invest your time and, more importantly, your budget.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's unpack this, starting with the absolute juggernaut dropping on May 27th. James Bond returns in 007 First Light.
Yeah, the defining factor for this release is definitely the studio at the helm, which is IO Interactive.
Right, the Hitman creators.
Exactly. For the last 10 years, they've basically been running a masterclass in stealth sandbox design with the Hitman franchise. And now they're injecting that exact structural DNA into an origin story set in the 1960s Cold War.
Oh, man.
You are charting Bond's evolution, from a Royal Navy officer all the way to the operative we know today.
And they're building this on their upgraded Glacier 3 engine, which, for anyone unfamiliar with the tech, is a huge deal.
It is a massive leap in simulation technology. The Glacier 3 engine isn't just about rendering high-resolution textures. It's really about environmental density and
Like
physics.
the clothing and stuff.
Yeah, it calculates real-time cloth simulation on a bespoke tuxedo while simultaneously managing the independent AI routines of like 3,000 individual non-player characters in a lavish Monaco casino.
That is just insane processing power.
It really is. It traces how light bounces off a wet cobblestone street in East Berlin while keeping track of which specific guards you've distracted, and couple that processing power with an original score by Hans Zimmer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the ambition is just crystal clear.
Here's where it gets really interesting to me, though. If you look at the history of the spy genre in gaming, the mechanics always eventually collapse into a standard corridor shooter.
Right, inevitably.
Yeah. You get caught, an alarm goes off, and you are forced to shoot your way out. But IO Interactive has built out this concept called the Rules of Spycraft.
Which is brilliant.
It is. From a mechanical perspective, it completely changes the verbs available to the player. It's less like a traditional action game and more like a high-stakes digital escape room.
Yeah,
You
exactly.
can literally talk, charm, or use deception to win. Like we said at the top, you can beat missions without firing a single shot.
What's fascinating here is how the software actually tracks those interactions.
Right.
The AI is monitoring the duration of your eye contact with targets. It measures your posture and tracks conversational interrupts.
It measures your posture.
Yeah. You can feed a guard a piece of false intelligence, and the game's logic board will dynamically ripple that lie through the building security protocol.
So they actually react to the specific lie.
Exactly. The guards might shift their patrol routes to investigate your fake lead, which quietly unlocks a secure wing on the other side of the map. It demands a level of cognitive engagement that goes entirely beyond just pointing a crosshair at a hitbox.
It essentially makes talking a weapon. I mean, you can manipulate the entire environment, but that level of systemic complexity cannot be cheap to develop.
It certainly isn't, which brings us to the economics of the launch.
Right, the pricing.
The standard edition is launching at $69.99, but the deluxe edition sits at $99.99, and that bundles in a season pass for future story missions and early access to a yet-to-be-revealed multiplayer mode.
And it seems like people are buying in.
The gamble is definitely paying off. They're sitting on 2.3 million global pre-orders right now,
Wow.
and 60% of those are from the North American market alone. In an era where publishers have chased free-to-play live service models for years, this is a massive multi-million dollar bet that players still crave premium single-player cinematic experiences.
So IO Interactive gives you this intense micro-level freedom in a single room. But let's completely flip the scale.
Okay.
Let's talk about macro-level freedom. May 19th brings us Forza Horizon 6.
Yes. So if we connect the idea of sandbox freedom in Deros 07 to ultimate open world freedom, Playground Games is finally delivering the single most requested location in the history of the franchise.
Japan.
Japan. We are looking at a contiguous map of 180 square kilometers.
The scale is just absurd.
It really is.
You can start in the neon density of Shibuya, take a tuned-up streetcar onto the coastal highways toward Osaka, and end up drifting down the mountain passes of Mount Fuji,
And they are launching with over 750 vehicles.
which is wild. But the
Oh.
technical hurdle they finally cleared is full gameplay ray tracing.
Right, not just in photo mode.
Exactly. Not the trick where the game renders reflections only when you pause to take a picture. We are talking real-time, mathematically accurate light bounces on the windows of skyscrapers and rain petals while you are driving at 200 miles per hour.
Yeah, and to achieve that without melting the player's hardware, they are heavily relying on DLSS4 and FSR4 for PC players.
Right.
For those not deep into the tech, these are essentially artificial intelligence upscalers. The game engine might only be rendering 40 frames a second natively, but the AI anticipates the geometry and hallucinates the missing frames in real time.
To smooth it out.
Exactly, to display a perfectly smooth 60 or 120 frames per second. It allows for staggering visual fidelity without crippling the processor.
Hold on, though. I look at the mechanical changes they are making to the actual game loop, and I am genuinely confused.
Really? How so?
Well, the guide specifically outlines a new rank progression system and an exclusive endgame area called Legend Island.
Right.
Why are they doing that? Horizon has always been a digital vacation.
Yeah.
You log in, you drive around a beautiful landscape, you listen to the radio, and you just relax.
Yeah, a chill hangout game.
Right. So bolting a hyper-competitive, hardcore progression system onto that seems like a massive misstep. Aren't they going to totally alienate the core audience who just wants a low-stakes escape? Like, is it trying to be two different games at once?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is a calculated solution to the modern industry's most terrifying metric, which is player churn.
Player retention.
Exactly. You are entirely correct that the core appeal of Horizon is a low-stakes sandbox. And they aren't abandoning that. They've introduced customizable estates where casual players can build a private test track, decorate a massive garage, and basically just hang out and play house with their car collection.
Okay, so that keeps the casuals happy.
Right. But a sandbox without a goal eventually becomes boring. Ranked progression and Legend Island aren't meant to punish casual players. They exist to give the hardcore demographic and aspirational goal a reason to log in every single day.
It transforms the game from a weekend road trip into a daily habit.
Exactly. And that daily habit is required because of the underlying economics. We have to look at the Game Pass math. Ah, right.
If you buy Forza Horizon 6 on a disc or a digital storefront, it is $69.99. But Xbox Game Pass Ultimate is $16.99 a month.
Right.
The internal projections suggest that 60 to 70% of the Xbox player base will access this game through their subscription.
That is a staggering statistic. Nearly three quarters of the people driving around Mount Fuji didn't actually buy the game outright.
It fundamentally rewrites the rules of AAA game design in North America. When a player drops $70 up front, the publisher already has their money. It doesn't really matter if the player quits after 2 weeks.
But with subscriptions, it's different.
Exactly. In a subscription ecosystem, the developer has to justify the player's $17 renewal fee next month and the month after that. Legend Island exists to ensure that a subscriber doesn't cancel their Game Pass in June. The economic model dictates the gameplay loop.
Wow. So the subscription model basically demands top-down control over the player's time.
But what happens when players reject that kind of giant studio monopoly entirely and decide to build their own ecosystem from the ground up?
Oh, this is the David versus Goliath story of the month.
It really is. That brings us to May 25th and a game called Paralives.
This is undoubtedly the most culturally disruptive release on the calendar. For over 12 years, Electronic Arts has held an undisputed monopoly on the life simulator genre with The Sims.
Right.
Paralyzed is a project from a small, independent studio attempting to break that monopoly.
And the pent-up frustration from the community is just boiling over. To experience the entirety of The Sims 4 today, you have to purchase over $1,000 worth of DLC.
It's heavily paywalled.
It is. But Paralyzed is entering early access at a flat $29.99. Their primary weapon against EA is a foundational rewrite of how building mechanics work. They're introducing the unrestricted building system.
To understand why that matters, you have to look at the legacy tech of The Sims. EA's building system is fundamentally rigid, right? It relies on a grid. You place a square wall on a square tile.
Like painting by numbers.
Yes. But Paralyzed has built a node-based vector system. You place a point on the ground, drag a line, and the software dynamically generates the geometry to match whatever curve or angle you want. You can adjust the exact millimeter height of a window or a ceiling without breaking the textures.
It sounds like being handed a blank canvas and the keys to a hardware store.
Mm.
And they're doing the same thing with their character creator, the Paramaker.
Right.
They've built complex collision meshes for layered clothing. You can put a t-shirt on a character, layer an open flannel over it, and put a heavy winter coat over that.
And it doesn't clip through the model.
Exactly. The fabrics rest naturally on top of each other. So what does this all mean?
Well, this raises an important question about community-driven development. EA's dominance bred complacency, and Paralyzed harnessed that exact frustration. They have 500,000 wish lists. They are backed by over $3 million in Patreon funding. The players are literally financing the disruption of a monopoly. Furthermore, the studio promises all core content in the base game. No paid DLC for core mechanics.
But we do need to inject a dose of reality here.
We do. Listeners need to temper their expectations. This is an early access launch. When the servers turn on May 25th, the game will be incomplete.
Right, like no pets on day one.
Exactly. There are no pets, no weather systems or seasons yet. The vector-based building system will absolutely have bugs. But if it succeeds, it could do to The Sims what Stardew Valley did to Harvest Moon.
That's a great comparison. Now, moving from the highly individual sandbox of Paralyzed, I want to look at how the rest of May's releases are all about shared co-op experiences.
Completely tailored to different emotional states, too.
Exactly. Let's start with pure family fun. May 22nd, LEGO Batman Legacy. $60.
They have taken the fluid, rhythmic combat of the Batman Arkham series and translated it into LEGO bricks.
You are exploring an open-world Gotham City. It has over 150 playable characters.
Yeah.
They even have the Condiment King.
Of course they do.
But the feature that caught my attention is their claim of adaptive difficulty. The marketing says an adult and an 8-year-old child can play co-op together and both feel genuinely challenged. I am highly skeptical. Is that just a marketing buzzword? Usually adaptive difficulty is just a lazy slider that gives enemies more health.
No, it is a brilliant piece of family-friendly engineering. Yeah. The software is constantly running background telemetry on each individual controller.
Okay.
It tracks input delays, combo success rates, and movement fluidity. If you are flawlessly executing combo chains, the AI dynamically routes complex, shielded enemies toward your side of the screen.
And what happens to the 8-year-old?
The game invisibly intervenes for them. It might subtly widen the platforming ledges in their immediate vicinity or turn their combat encounters into auto combos. It levels the playing field dynamically so both players feel like heroes.
Okay, that is an incredibly elegant solution. Now let's look at the exact opposite end of the spectrum. The psychological terror of Directive 8020.
Dropping May 12th for $39.99. A jarring but fascinating pivot.
Supermassive Games is doing a 5-player online co-op space horror game. 18 different endings, but the entire foundation of the game is built on trust mechanics.
This is where multiplayer design becomes beautifully malicious. In LEGO Batman, the software alters the code to support you. In Directive 8020, the software actively lies to you.
To erode your trust in your friends.
Exactly. Instead of fighting, the core gameplay loop is about paranoia and deciding if your friends are still human.
Right, because it manipulates individual screens. You might hear a distress beacon, but the player next to you hears complete silence. It forces you to question if the software is infected or if your friend is leading you into a trap.
It is an exercise in engineered stress.
All right, we have to hit the rapid-fire wrap-up to highlight the new gems rounding out the calendar.
Let's run through them.
May 21st. Switch 2 owners get Yoshi and the Mysterious Book for $59.99.
Right, the core mechanic there is physical page flipping that alters the 3D geometry of the level.
Then on May 14th, Subnautica 2 hits early access for $29.99.
Now with 4-player co-op, which means managing shared oxygen and tethering systems.
Speaking of co-op, May 20th brings Deep Rock Galactic, Rogue Core for $24.99 in early access.
Yeah, co-op space mining meets permanent death roguelike.
If you need to lower your heart rate, May 21st brings Coffee Talk Tokyo for $14.99.
Cozy late-night yokai therapy where the drink-mixing interface dictates the narrative branches.
And finally, dropping May 5th in early access for $19.99, Dead as Disco.
Arkham-style combat, but perfectly synced to a rhythm music track.
There is an astonishing amount of mechanical diversity dropping this month.
Uh-huh.
Let's distill all of this down into the ultimate buying guide based on your budget. If your budget is tight-like, under $35, grab Coffee Talk Tokyo and Dead as Disco.
Great picks.
If you are a high-budget solo player, Fail 7, First Light is the undisputed heavyweight. Mm-hmm. And if you own an Xbox or PC, do not buy Forza outright.
Get Game Pass for $16.99.
Exactly. So, any final thoughts?
Well, just something to mull over. We've seen games this month feature rules of spycraft, unrestricted building, and adaptive difficulty.
Yeah.
As these systems become incredibly intelligent and responsive to our exact choices, are we reaching a point where we are no longer just playing a game, but actually co-authoring the software in real time?
Oh, wow.
I mean, where is the line between player and developer going to be in the next 5 years?
It's just a staggering thought to end on. The game isn't just reacting, it's evolving alongside you. Well, you have your mission briefs, you have the underlying architecture decoded, and you have your budgets mapped out. Thank you for taking this deep dive with us. Keep exploring.